Today on Real Life Radio.
Yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you with me? Which qualifies us to be washed by the Lamb of God. You've got to see that He's the cleanser. He's the one who cleanses us because God, who is pure, can make pure.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, the world is moving fast. Our culture's gone through some dramatic changes, and it's not for our good. But most of all, it's not good for our kids. The question is, can our children and grandchildren stand up against those who want nothing more than to eliminate their faith in the Lord? Sounds pretty daunting, doesn't it? But with the right guidance, the next generation can not only thrive in the face of cultural adversity, they can emerge as tomorrow's Christian leaders. It's why our current featured resource is a must-read. It's called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's by author and speaker Ken Ham. Now, Ken is also the founder of the Creation Museum, and he knows the dangerous door that's been opened regarding the book of Genesis and how people are looking to compromise our Christian worldview. Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face the Giants is available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 3. You know, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth and shares with us how finding God is really finding unconditional love. You see, finding the love of your life is finding God, who is altogether humble, consistent, and never wavers in His love towards us. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that finding God is finding Him who is altogether pure. He is more than able to cleanse us and sustain us. Now with his message called Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, in finding the love of your life, we saw that we're finding Him who is altogether humble. That God came to us, and God came to us in the sense that He's a humble God, that He came to this earth and humbled Himself. And then verse 5, we saw that finding the love of your life is finding Him who is altogether consistent. I liked last week's message. God is consistent in His love for us. He doesn't waver. Aren't you glad? He doesn't waver. He doesn't change. He doesn't vary. And now we come to the third message, and that is finding the love of your life found in verse 6, you guys, and it's this, is finding Him who is altogether pure. Will you write that down? We are finding Him who is altogether pure when we consider the love of God. And here it is in verse 6. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Mark it down this way, church, if you would. By finding and searching and looking for the love of your life who is altogether pure, that is Jesus, that is God's love for you, it is this, it is by His purity that He is able to cleanse me. You guys all remember what me means, right? Do I need to go through that again? You've got it down. Me is you. Me is me, but in your notes, me is you. And God is announcing that by His purity, He is able to cleanse us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all of mankind. None of us have lived this life without telling a lie. Not one person. Not one of us have lived this lie, lived this life without thinking a lustful thought. Every one of us has had a lustful thought. Not one of us has lived this life without thinking a proud or arrogant thought. We've all sinned. To deny that is to deny the very reality of God, and for that matter, the very reality of who we are. We know that we are impure as a people. As humans, when we talk about the purity of God and how when we find Him who loves us and He's the love of our life, we are absolutely amazed at the purity of Christ. And when we consider it, that Mary had a little lamb, right? As we sing the nursery rhyme, but that nursery rhyme was none other than a story about Jesus Christ, That lamb was white as snow or white as wool, speaking about his purity. The Bible tells us that seated right now at the right hand of God the Father is Jesus Christ. The Bible says his eyes, imagine this, his eyes are a flame of fire. And the Bible says his beard is white like snow, and that his face is brighter than the sun. If you were to see Jesus today in the skies above, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that when he comes, that the sun will flee away from his presence in shame. The sun will recoil at the brightness of Christ coming. That is awesome. That's your Jesus. The moon right now, ladies and gentlemen, church family, the moon is what it's called waxing. The moon is getting greater each night. And even last night, you could see the shadows on your street or on your lawn from the trees, that the moon is casting these great shadows. And as bright as the moon can be, the Bible says that the heavens will flee at the coming of Christ. Why? Because one thing is of his purity. He's altogether pure. Noah Webster in his 1828 Dictionary of the English Language states regarding purity, listen to this. Purity is to purify or to be pure, to make clean, to remove the filth or the foul odor of any kind. The process of washing, rubbing, scouring, scraping, purging, to cleanse of the hands or of the face or of a garment. Listen to what Webster says. To cleanse an infected house. The healing, the cleansing of a man. This is what Noah Webster said in his dictionary. See Leviticus 14, Numbers chapter 8, and Ezekiel chapter 43. Why? Because in all of those chapters, it's about the man, the woman being cleansed by God's sacrifice, by the blood of the Lamb or by the blood of Christ, the sacrificial cleansing that God provides. Listen, only the pure can make pure. Who are you following today? Who is your Christ? Who is your Messiah? Who is your Redeemer? I proudly, with humble heart, proclaim today that by the love of God, I have found the love of my life, and that is Jesus Christ, who has cleansed me and washed me, and he's the one that wants to wash and cleanse you of every wrong, of every sin, of every bit of evil. Yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you with me? Yes. Which qualifies us to be washed by the Lamb of God. You've got to see that he's the cleanser. He's the one who cleanses us, because God, who is pure, can make pure. This word here, that love does not rejoice. Notice this, it's in the negative first. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. We'll unpack this here in a moment. The word rejoice, in its positive sense, means this: to be deep, well off, calm, cheerfulness, glad of greeting or glad of farewell. In a word, we would say Godspeed. This word in the Greek, to rejoice, is to wish someone or to send someone off with a great blessing. Now notice this, that's it in the positive. The Bible says that love, insert the name Jesus, God is love, Jesus does not rejoice in iniquity. He finds no pleasure, nothing good. Listen, Jesus cannot be cheered by sinful conduct. It grieves his heart. Listen, as Christians, we sometimes deceive ourselves. We think that we can live a life, because we are Christians, that we can live a life that's a little bit, in some areas, off color. That's a nice way of putting it, huh? Off color. We allow a sin in our life. And we might even justify it by saying, well, I'm doing pretty good in 85% of my life, but this little area over here, well, you know, nobody's perfect. And you know, down deep inside, it grieves the heart of God. We would call that something that we've not surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. We would say that it is something that we are removing Jesus from the throne of our hearts and putting ourselves in place that we might tolerate that thing in our lives. Or that if you look at your life as a hallway or a house, and down that hallway are certain rooms, and Jesus is available to go through every room. But there may be one room where you don't allow Jesus into. There may be yellow caution tape across it, and he's not allowed. Let me tell you something. He will park outside that door, and he will hound you day and night. And until you let him in, it's going to be miserable for you. I'm talking to the Christian. Forget the non-believer right now. Jesus will walk down the hallway of your life, and he'll stand by that door, and he'll say, Jack, can I come in here? You ever seen somebody when they're busted? It's our granddaughter, when she gets in trouble now, she'll start doing things to distract you. Jesus says, Jack, can I come in here? You know, Lord. And he'll just tap on the door. He won't turn the doorknob. He'll just say, can I go in here, please? And your head begins to hang, huh, with shame. Notice this. He does not rejoice in iniquity. He's not going to grab you by the ear and march you out in the front of the street and say, hey, look what I found in Jack's or Billy or Susie's closet. He doesn't rejoice in iniquity. God loves you. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, be sure of this. If you don't confess your sin and you're a believer, he says your sin will find you out. You know what that means? It means if you're doing something that you ought not to be doing as a Christian, God will lovingly, quietly be speaking to you. Will he not? He'll be speaking. He'll be talking. He'll be tapping you on the shoulder. He'll be pointing to the doorknob, and you better let him in. Because you know what he does? He ups the pressure. If you refuse to let him in, listen, I mean this right now. Whatever sin you, Christian, may be involved in right now, give it to him quickly. You want to know why? If you don't, he will get you to the point where you'll surrender it without touching the doorknob. How does he do that? Your sin will be found out. God will speak to someone. He'll speak to your husband. He'll speak to your wife. He'll speak to your parents or a friend, and it will become public. And if you don't repent of it, he'll turn on the light. And if it's not repented of, watch this, he'll go to the housetop. Doesn't the Bible say, didn't Jesus say it, that he will shout it from the rooftops if we don't repent of it? You say, well, Jack, I'm guilty of this or I'm guilty of that. Listen, I don't want to know it. And Jesus doesn't want to shout it. He does not rejoice in iniquity. He wants you to be well off. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be doing well. So listen, remove the obstacle. You say, I can't, I don't have the power. That's why you have a Redeemer. That's why you have Christ. Give it to him. He will take it. Based on the premise of the foundation that he does not rejoice in iniquity, that's good news for us. He will not tolerate it, but he knows us and he's loving and he's kind. Listen, he's loving and he's kind. That's why he won't tolerate it. Yeah. Don't tell me for a moment that you're more tolerant and kind than Jesus, so that's why you tolerate this or that. No, that's carnality. He's altogether pure. The word for us means this, that you and I would never gloat or somehow find satisfaction when a friend or a foe falls. Do you have an enemy in life? If you don't, come and see me after service. I'll give you some of mine. When you hear that your enemy has fallen down and skinned his knee, do you rejoice over that? That's not love. Well, they had it coming. That's not for you and I to decide. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, even for those that hate us and want to kill us, or those that want to hurt us or say all manner of evil against us. If we love like Jesus would love, listen, they may go the way that they go, but the truth is for you and I, listen, we rise to a higher standard. We're following our Jesus. And our Jesus says, do not rejoice in the iniquity of others. The Bible shows us that Jesus loved to live out this great characteristic of God. It's a universal truth that Jesus, while he was on earth and even now in heaven, is altogether pure. Angels bow in his presence. The Bible, listen, this is amazing. And I'm speaking right now predominantly to those of you who've maybe never picked up a Bible. Maybe you're of a cult or of a foreign religion. I want to say this loud and clear. The Bible invites you and I to examine the life and the sayings of Jesus Christ. There's nothing hidden about him. When you're pure, the character of Christ is revealed to all men, and God gives you the Bible. Why do you think it's important that all men on planet, everybody, have a chance to read the Bible, to find out who he is? And you know what's great? The more you study and find out about who this Jesus is of the Bible, you know what? You'll fall in love with him if you have half a brain or half a heart. He's pure.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And this book, the Bible, is before you to examine him. Why do you think on Passion Week that Jesus was examined by the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders of Israel, trying to catch him in sayings and try to get him to trip up and try to get him to usurp his own authority over the will of the Father? And not once did Jesus violate the plan of God. And it's all written down, warts and all, in this book, the Bible. You can find out all about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. No one's got a book like this written about him, not even close, that you might know the lover of your soul. And he's come and he's done all this, and we think of joy to the world. What is it all about? That a soul can be cleansed, that we can be forgiven of our sins. It is awesome. And that can come, as I said earlier, by the spotless Lamb of Jesus. He's able to cleanse me. You want to know why that's so beautiful for me? I cannot cleanse myself. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Our God, the God of the Bible, is a relational God. He's not distant. In this relationship that is called Christianity, I'm going to vent some frustration here in a moment. There's an almost sterility about trying to describe Christianity or our relationship with God by a word. I don't like saying Christianity because people have different definitions of that. Are you with me? Watch this. You may have an address at your house, and there might even be your name on the mailbox, but that doesn't define your family, does it? To know your family is to live in the walls or to visit it often and to be in and out of that corridor, those hallways, or the living room or the family room or whatever. It's to be there. Am I a Christian? Yes, but I'm only a Christian in the definition or in light of that I'm following Jesus. Don't try to make me a Calvary Chapelite or a Methodist or a Presbyterian. Don't try to make me a Wesleyan or a Baptist. Forget it. I'm following Jesus. That makes me a Christian. The word Christian is a Christ follower, but that's not why I'm following him. He offers you and I a relationship one-on-one, and in that relationship, part and parcel is being washed by him and cleansed by him. Amen. He washes our sins away so that we can hang out with him. Can I use that word, hang out? People get offended. I got a note saying, don't use that word. I'm sorry. But listen, Jesus not only is enthroned in heaven above, but he's the God who wants to wrap his arm around me and walk with me every day of my life. He's altogether lovely. He's amazing. And so when I say Christianity, I'd rather just say that I have a God who relates to me. It is the God of the Bible, and we have a relationship. The God of the Bible, him and I, we're going out together. We've got a date. The God of the Bible greets me every morning. He's in my mind. I don't have to muster it up. I don't have to hear a call to prayer to think about my God. It is constant in your mind and my mind, constant. And if you don't know that today, my friend, you're religious, but you don't have a relationship with him, and you need to change that today. Can you say that you have an experience? Has your relationship with God brought you to an experience? Are you experiencing Christ? Can you say today that you're experiencing Jesus Christ every day? I'd like to have that be almost a running theme of this church for the rest of our lives. Are you experiencing Jesus Christ relationally every day? That's the rule. You might say this morning, yeah, but I've backslidden. I'm far from God. I've ran from Jesus. But listen to you talk. I'm far from God. I've run from Jesus. I'm backslidden. Do you know what? There's only one person who can say that, and that's the person who knows God. For you to say you're far from God means you once knew the proximity of God. You know what it's like to feel him. Yes, you may have backslidden away. Well, I can't think of a greater time of the year than to throw yourself under the tree and put a bow on your forehead and say, Jesus, I'm back. John chapter 17, verse 1 says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as to many, notice, give, that's a gift, as many as you have given him, and I love it. This is eternal life. Stop right there. Look on the screen. Hold it. This week I watched, keep it on the screen. Keep looking. This week I watched, maybe you did too, Smithsonian Institute special on TV, Decoding Immortality. Maybe you saw it. Some of the world's greatest scientists cannot figure out now, with all the data that they've acquired, why a human being dies. Did you know that? They looked at the DNA and they looked at the telomeres that's on the end of a DNA. It's a coding. And they have found the key there that whenever those things, because of lifestyle, they said, because of how you eat, how you treat yourself, and the environment you live in, stress, they said, is the number one cause for the destruction of the tip of the DNA. And when that goes, it's your aging process. You ever seen some people who are 50 and they look like they're 80? And some people who are 50 and it looks like they're 20? And some people who are 50 who look like they're 50? Hey, what's the deal? You say, well, it's their genes, the genetic. Hey, amazing. Watch this. The conclusion was they took cells from a person and they put it in the freezer for 20 years. And they thawed them out after 20 years. The person was 20 years older, but the part that they put into the freezer was not. The telomeres thawed out and they were longer in length than the man whom they had come from. And then they started living again and they would die some 20 years later than what the man would die. They said, if we could do this and then pull it from a body and then inject it back into a body, we're flirting with immortality, because they said that the human organs, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, they said there's no reason why they should ever, ever, ever stop. Guess what my Bible says about that? My Bible says the eternal God made us. Adam and Eve were going to live forever until they ate some bad fruit. Look at that verse. That he should give them eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. Yes, what is it? Decoding the... No. Listen, this is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You want to live forever? I mean, I want to live forever, but let me make it clear. Not here. Okay? We live in a nice part of the world. I understand that. But it's all going down the toilet. I want to live forever in heaven. I don't want to live forever here. I don't want to die 150 living in Chino Hills. I want to live forever, living in heaven with God forever. This knowing is eternal life, says the Bible. That God is to be known and Jesus Christ is to be experienced. And church, I want to challenge you to experience Jesus. So we do not rejoice over iniquity, sin, evil. Why? We don't rejoice over sinful acts or conduct because it hurts the heart of God and he's the lover of your soul. We don't want to tolerate sin or sinful conduct. We do not want to rejoice in ungodly living because of attitudes or deadly emotions because it hurts the heart of God and he's the lover of your soul. Condoning a loveless or mean spirit. We don't want to condone that. We want to confront that in love. We do not want to rejoice in the display of evil or rebellion because it hurts the heart of God, who's the lover of your soul. That is the ignoring the advancement of evil as it encroaches ever more. Evil's on the march. I know we couldn't handle it this morning, many of us, because it's just too terrifying. But in a lot of ways, a Christian who's gone long time before us, J.R.R. Tolkien, wrote that book, Lord of the Rings, and then recently it was put into a movie, and there's many scenes because it was a spiritually Christian-based book, but there's a scene where the movie shows evil advancing like a dark cloud across the valley. And Christian, evil's advancing. And love must confront the evil. Why? Because evil kills people. There are people swept up in evil. And you hate the evil, but you love the person. You're not compromising. But if you really love God, you'll confront the evil, and if you really love the person, you'll reach out to them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. We're glad you did. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Did you know that epidemics are not always physical in nature? The most widespread epidemic that has taken over the world is not found in a lab. It's found in the disparity of the soul. Loneliness has swept the earth. People are overcome with despair more than ever before. Our heart longs for relationships, but many times we look for it in all the wrong places. There's really only one thing that can satisfy the soul, and that's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and to meet with Him on a daily basis. Now, whether you're alone in your room or in a crowded coffee shop with your phone, your laptop, and latte, you really can find comfort and peace through God's Word and with Pastor Jack's devotions. New devotions written by Pastor Jack are uploaded on a weekly basis, but previous devotions are right there for you to check out at jackhibbs.com. Easy to find at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.